This segment proudly brought to you by Claire.
Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaba.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
Empowering the Ummah.
Welcome, ya Mustafa.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرم ما گئے ہے رسول مکرم.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Respected listeners of Sirius FM as well as Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is the bliss of marriage. The date today is the 7th of Jumad al-Ula, 1447, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 29th of October, 2025. Our listeners can send in their questions, queries to the number 084-786-3132. If in a foreign country, +27 is the code, 84-786-3132. We just, as we wait for Mufti Saab, we will start our programming shortly. Yesterday's was a backlog of questions. Inshallah, those listeners can send it again today if it wasn't answered yesterday. And just WhatsApp us now and repeat the question. Inshallah, we will answer it today. So 084-786-3132, +27 84-786-3132. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaidkan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab. We start with our headlines.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Trump is trumpeting away from Malaysia to Japan, Japan to South Korea, and then to China. So then everywhere he says things are going well, you know. So that's his style. We see the haramis, the swines, the pigs, the donkeys and the monkeys, 93 people they killed alone yesterday in Gaza. And they say that no, Hamas violated the ceasefire. Every day, week, every month, you are attacking the people in Gaza or in Libya or in Lebanon or in Syria, and you have the most violations against the United Nations resolutions, but you want to play good man. Now the world knows you are the biggest criminal on earth, and why don't you allow international observers, international journalists to come in, and they all will know that the crimes against humanity, the genocide, the ethnic cleansing, the war crimes you committed. Therefore, Norway and so many other countries have said, if Netanyahu comes there, they will arrest him straight away. And then we see in South Africa, so many problems, you see. They in Sea Point and that, the Muslims want to build a masjid, but the Jutlas and all their supporters, they say, no, you can't have masjid there. So this morning I told them, inshallah, the masjid will be built, and you Jutlas or anybody else, you don't like it, then you must foot sack from South Africa. You see, South Africa doesn't belong to you, that you can come and dictate to us and so forth and so on. If you know anything about the history of the Jutlas and Jews in South Africa, I used to read the Jewish Report every week when I was in Newcastle, you know. That Saturday or Sunday, we used to go there in the 80s, 90s to game, you know, and cliques. And next to them was the CNA. Now the cliques and game is no more there, they moved. So then my wife goes shopping, I go there to CNA, and I read the whole Jewish Report. So under apartheid, their statistics was the Jews, they reach 150, 160, 170,000 here in South Africa, plus minus obviously. And when democracy came, majority rule came, half of them ran away. You see that? Now there's big problems there in Israel that occupied Palestine. So now they want to come back there to Cape Town and dictate to us. So you go to a hell for what we care, you must remember that. So one settler, one bullet will settle the issue forever. So that is our stance on all these issues here. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect us, protect our masajid, and protect our mujahideen as well. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Mufti Sahib, the question is, what can we do to assist Gaza from here, from South Africa?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is Wednesday, so after Zuhr Salat, read 2 rakat Salat and say, Ya Allah, destroy the American Empire and American regime, destroy the Jutlas and so forth. If you just take Quran at random, we take a Hadith, and you will see that also is a big thing. Quran Kareem teaches us in Surah 40, verse number 60. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your sustainer, nourisher, provider says, call me, beg of me, and I'll respond to you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Chapter 2, verse number 186. When my servants ask you about me, say, I am very, very near, and I answer and respond positively to those who call me, beg of me, appeal to me. So it shows that dua is very important. Then Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahadith at random, ad-du'a mukhul ibadah, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. And you'll see that Nabi in Mishkat Sharif, dua is the nucleus, is the essence of ibadah. In Mustadrak Hakim, ad-du'a silahul mu'min. So dua is the silah, is the weapon of the believer. So at least after the 2 rakat salat, then you raise your hands, or you go into sajda, you're out of salat now. Speak to Allah Jalla Wala in any language, and then say, Ya Allah, destroy the Americans. Ya Allah, destroy the Jutlas and the Jews and Israel. Ya Allah, all these Arab tadpot dictators and haramis, and Muslim countries and others. Give them hidayat, Ya Allah, and guidance. And if there's no guidance meant for them, then decimate and destroy them. So you must remember this, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, and his people were being, you understand, tortured, persecuted by the tyrant, the zalim, the harami, the pharaoh. So what did he tell his people? He told his people, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, read chapter number 10, Surah Yunus, and verses 85, 86 abundantly. That's the first thing he told them. Alallahi tawakkalna. The mistake the Palestinians and the Muslims and 90% of the Ummah makes, they think the United Nations will help them. They think the United States will help them. Or they think United Kingdom will help them. All these are our enemies, you must remember this. Each one of them has showed us their true colors. So now we must place our trust on Allah alone, you see. Alallahi tawakkalna. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan lilqawmi zalimin. Ya Allah, do not make us a target for the people who are the zalims and oppressors and tadpot dictators. Wa najjina bi rahmatika min alqawmi alkafirin. And Ya Allah, you save us through your mercy from a people who are the non-believers, the non-Muslims and so forth and so on. So that is the first dua. Then you see, if you read that verses, then in front you will find وَجْعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. So read abundant salat. So whatever salat they used to read those days. So every day we must be reading, you must remember that is extra salat and so forth. To beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that Ya Allah, that help us and help the Palestinians, not only in Gaza, they in the West Bank, and what about Sudan? See the Sudan, there are millions of people displaced. And there is UAE. UAE government, 100% kafir government. Today I got, you see, a cutting, you see, 100% authentic. That where MBS and MBZ in a nightclub in Dubai, and the prostitutes are there. So I told them that I can't send the thing out, because everybody will see all the prostitutes there. So I said they'd send the article but cover that photo. So we will send it out, inshallah, and so forth, you see. So therefore, when we speak to you, we don't speak just emotional, and that we speak with dalail, with evidence. These people are the arch enemies of Islam and Muslims and so forth. So Allah destroy them and their kingdoms and their oil and their wealth and everything. Like Nabi Musa alayhi salam made dua. رَبَّنَا اتْمِسْ عَلَىٰ مُعَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. You see, he made dua, Allah Ta'ala must punish the Pharaoh and his wealth and their hearts and everything, you see. So all these are big lessons for us, and every day give our charity. Ya Allah, we are also guilty. Every day we committing vices and sins. So make, forgive us, make satari, cover and conceal, and help us see the ending of Surah Baqarah. 286 verses, past, present, future, dua. Past, wa'afu anna. Ya Allah, from the time we became baligh and mature, forgive us. Currently, presently, waghfir lana. Make satari, cover and conceal our sins. Therefore, a helmet in Arabic is called mighfar. You see that? It means, in this text context, waghfir lana means to cover and conceal. You went toilet, you came out. Then what dua you did? Ghufranaka. You didn't commit a sin. You went to urinate, defecate. But you're asking Ghufranaka. Why? Ya Allah, to expose my private. Ya Allah, now you cover it, conceal it. It must not be exposed in front of all and sundry, in front of the enemies. You see the beauty? So that is also a meaning there also. Sitruka ya Rab. That cover and conceal it. Wa'afu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna. In the future, envelope us in your mercy, ya Allah, and engulf us in your mercy. Anta maulana, you are our protector. Fansurna alal qawm al kafirin. You help us against this kuffar people. Fansurna alal yahudi zalimin al muhtallin al ghasibin al mal'unin al mustawtinin. Ya Allah, that you destroy these jutlas, muhtalleen, they are the occupiers, and ghasibin, they usurp our land, our masjid, our olive farms and harvest, and then they are mustawtineen, the settlers, and mal'uneen, the cursed nation, the swines and the pigs they are, you see that. So all that you must learn to make dua, and make dua in any language out of salat, no problem with that.
Mufti Sahib, a person says, I saw a video of a Sunni Naqshbandi Sheikh, and he mentions that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sits on the throne for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's power is of such magnitudes that no throne can carry Allah. Allah created everything for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allah sends salams to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sits on the throne. Please comment.
All this here, you must remember, is not the belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. When you study the tasawwuf, you see, therefore Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and them, they wrote some excellent books on this topic. Fiqhul Tasawwuf is his book, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Al-Furqan, Baina Awliya'i Rahman and Baina Awliya'i Shaitan, and so forth. To say Allah sits on his throne, or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sits on his throne, and all these things, it's not authentic, you must remember that. Sufis, you get two kinds. One that gives a lot of fairy tales and so forth. Some things definitely gives the Quran and Sunnah. And some of them, the great, great Sufi and Awliyaullah, Hazrat Pirani Pir, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Nawar al-Marqadaw, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Rahimahullah, and so forth. And in our time, if you look, the people we met who were great, great Sufis, Awliyaullah, Hazrat Ji, Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawar al-Marqadaw, Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, Waliullah, sage of the age, a big Sufi he was. Dunya ku lat mardiya, he gave a kick to the dunya, and you see how Allah elevated him. So therefore, these Salafi guys, they don't understand things, they don't want to understand. If you look at Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he wrote a whole book on this, Madariju Salikin, you see, which I have by me. So you must remember that tazkiyah is the term Quran uses to purify and cleanse our hearts from this pride and arrogance and jealousy and all that. It's false, it's compulsory, but we all are guilty of it today. Story time. The last time I went now, when they invited me, Shukri Jiva, you see, Haji, Hafiz, Muhammad Shukri Jiva, Damat Barakatuhu. So he came back from Hajj, and that time I went there because Ma Qasim, my brother-in-law, passed away, you see. Then they were elated, delighted, then they invited me, come to Uttanek, and then you stay in Kwantu and all. I said, Alhamdulillah. I said, I'll come, no problem. So then that Saturday morning, I had appointment with Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sir. So I said, Hazrat, whether we like, we don't like, the fact of the matter is, the Tabligh Jamaat today is in two, ABC party, XYZ party. So now, when we have to give them advice, what you, the elder, you give us advice. So lo and behold, that Friday night, I delivered a lecture. They, Wednesday night, I delivered lecture. They in Uttanek Masjid, Ibadur Rahman. Thursday night, I delivered lecture there. And then, oh no, Wednesday night, I didn't have a lecture, sorry. Thursday night, I had lecture there. And then Friday, I had Jummah there, you see. Wednesday, I just arrived there. And this thing, so Thursday night and Jummah, I was there. And Friday night, I was in PE, Masjid Abu Bakr, then supposed to be next to the Darul Uloom. But the Darul Uloom were no students, zero, white elephant. So anyway, so some students were right in front. And I saw they were taking out papers. So I thought it's Tashkil, you know. Then I saw so many of them writing what I'm saying. I said, from where you guys are? They said, from Azadul Darul Uloom. I said, oh. So you're out in Jamaat, they said, yes. I made dua for them, everything. Then they also asked me a few questions. So he, Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai Sahib, said that, yes, they came to me, the students, and they told me give advice. So this is Hazrat now. Maulvi Ahmad Sadiq Desai, Muftiyo ka Mufti hai. You see, you like, don't like, you agree, don't agree, it's your business. South African-born ulama that I saw in my life, my 70 years, I haven't seen anybody greater, South African-born. You understand? The Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib, Hafidhullah. So you must remember, Waliullah, sage of the age, Mujahid, you can put other titles, you must remember that. So the point is this, so he told me, I told the students, you asking me for advice. So let me give you advice. You see, y'all, you got daggers in your heart. What you got? You got daggers in your heart. You know, Maulana sometimes, when he raises his voice, you must know. He said, now you're in two groups. A, B, C, X, Y, Z. If A, B, C going front, forward and all, so then X, Y, Z gets very, very upset. If XYZ is going forward and all that, then ABC is very upset. So where's the lillahi here? Where's the ikhlas? Where's all this? You understand? Quran says, وَلَا تَجَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّةِ Ya Allah, do not put that malice, rancor, hatred in our hearts. But that's what your hearts are filled with, malice and rancor and hatred. So you see, as the deal speaks, you don't have to worry of anybody. So he said, that is the advice I proffered them, offered them. You know, this is Maulana's English also. So I gave them that advice. If you want Dawat Tabligh to be done in the proper way, then start cleansing this heart of ours. Inna fil jasadi la mudha. Iza salahat salahal jasadu kullu. Wa iza fasadat fasadal jalsadu kullu. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. In the body, there's a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is pure and clean, then the whole body will be cleansed and purified. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ And if that is corrupted, corroded, then daggers in there, then فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ The whole body will be corrupted and corroded and rusted. So what indeed is that piece of flesh? أَلَّا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ It's the heart. So instead of judging this one, judge yourself. Hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, wonderful hadith kitab. If I was a principal, there are a few kitabs, definitely I will tell the teachers to teach. Al-Adab al-Mufrad of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. And Bulugh al-Maram, especially like if you got a lot of Shafi, Ambali and their students. So we had students, their majority Shafi. I should tell them, I must buy heart it, how much I benefit. I taught over 10 years, you know. So, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Bulugh al-Maram, Tuba. Man shagalahu aibuhu an uyubin nas. Jannat al firdaus al a'la for those people who are so engrossed looking at their own faults, they don't have time to look at the faults of others. You see that? So that is advice for me and you. It's not only for Tabligh Jamaat, it's for me and you also and everybody. So today the Ummat is there. We have become our worst enemies, you must remember. And therefore the enemies capitalize on it. Yesterday, you asked for news. I don't know if you all carried it, you the news team. So you must remember in Istanbul, the side Pakistan delegation, the side Afghanistan delegation, and the meeting in Istanbul, they couldn't reach agreement. So they are telling them, Pakistan, that Pakistan is in Afghanistan, you are harboring terrorists and thus and all. They say that it's your fault, it's your internal problem, and now you want to turn it and make it our problem. So that was the sticking point, and they didn't agree. So it shows that when you can't agree on this, who's going to benefit? America will benefit, India will benefit, Iran will benefit, all kafir countries are going to benefit. So therefore, you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, and you of Markaz Sahaba, you must know, you only got 2 days left for Sahuk. Every time we have to remind you about Sahuk. Yesterday, I see a lot of people wanted it. You see that? So Friday is cut off, finished, then it's Kalas. So all of you, one chap told me, yesterday I paid them 1,000 rand in 2017 and they didn't give me my money back and I still didn't go for Hajj. You see, I said, this is the form, you fill it in on behalf of everyone and then everyone should fill in separately and then there are 3 emails and send the receipts and everything there. They're what you paid and all these things there and they must refund you. You see that? So like that it is, you must remember. See?
Mufti Saab, a person says, I wanted to find out the Shari ruling concerning inheritance. Husband remarried and new wife says all wealth, possessions, cash, money, properties, etc. were given to her by late husband. Clothes, etc. of deceased is only inheritance left. No documentation to prove these claims and deceased never said anything in his lifetime to anyone. The new wife also says all discussions were done in the privacy of the room. All bank accounts, etc.
All nonsense talk, all this. You must remember that if there are 2 wives, yesterday when I have Tuesday tafsir, so when I left my home, so I'm thinking, Ya Allah, put one topic in my head. I like to look for a topic that's really relevant for the public. You know, people come from far and all that, then we have Q&A and they make it very interesting. So then I said, Allah put in my head inheritance. So yesterday we discussed, you know how I should do with you, Maulana. So I discussed with them, you must remember the shares of the husband and the wife, because that is easy. So you must see the questions that came about. So in that one question came about, I was telling them wedding night or when you're traveling, and it's you and your wife, you must make Jamaat Salat and so forth, you know, airport, wherever. So the brother said, then who will give the Iqamat? The wife will give the Iqamat, you see. Like that, you find some funny question. No, the husband will give the Iqamat, not the wife. So regarding inheritance, also some funny questions. Anyway, so all that is all bunkum what she's saying. So now, currently, when the husband passed away, you must remember, then there are 2 wives. And he's got children, right? From the first wife, second wife, or any other wife and all that. So you, the wives, your people's share is 12.5%. How 12.5%? You, the first wife, will get 6.25%, and you, the second wife, will get 6.25%. So you must remember that. What the husband gave the wife during the lifetime is hers. So now the second wife comes and she claims, everything here was given to me, and so there's nothing left. So that is not permissible. So you're talking nonsense, you must remember that. The Zahir is against that. So you must remember, we won't accept that unless she can bring documentary proof or either she can bring, you must remember, the 2 male witnesses and so forth and so on. So it is bunkum what she's talking, you must remember that. But the fault lies with him, the husband. You know you got 2 wives and you know it's compulsory upon you to draw up in Sharia Islamic world. So that's why our people procrastinating, delay, 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 at tasweefu min ash-shaytan, you see that. Now when you don't do that properly, what Quran says? Chapter 4, verse 14. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ Whosoever disobeys Allah Jalla wa'ala and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding this inheritance, وَيَتَعَدَّى حُدُودَ. And any heir goes beyond the limits, like the second wife, she's going beyond the limits, obviously. يُدَخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah dispatches them to Jahannam for very, very, very long time. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. So the word abada is not mentioned, otherwise it means eternally. You must remember that. When وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for them there will be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Chapter 4, verse number 14. Hence we need to be very clear on this issue as well, that what she's saying is all lies and fabrications.
Mufti Sahib, who is Sheikh Habib Umar from Yemen? He's Sheikh of Tasawwuf.
Yeah, they got a lot of bid'ah and all that also. So you see, as I told you, anybody can come. Our people get carried away. One, that he can speak Arabic, because Yemen, you must remember, is a Muslim country, Arab country, the poorest Arab country. Second one, they all pull the stunt. I'm not saying it's not true, but some of them will try their luck. They will tell you, we, min ay, are min al-Sadat, min ahli Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We belong to the family of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, you see. And when you look at them also, they look very smart also, you know, with a smart turban, and then they speak and all these things here and all that. So two, three things they got, and the people are like sheep, you must remember that. And they just follow. So number one, they speak Arabic as their mother tongue. Second, they come from Yemen. Nabi alayhi salam is special dua for Yemen. Third one, they'll say, we from the family of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. So it's a winner, so you must remember. But when I look at his fatwas or his advices, many things there are bid'ah, you must remember. Personally, a person like me, I would not even want to meet him. Because you must remember, they will bring about a lot of bid'ah in your life, you must remember. Man azzama sahiba bid'atin faqad hadama al-Islam. Hadith in Mishkat Sharif. That when you go and show so much reverence and respect to these people who are innovators, and that actually you're destroying Islam. So you must remember this type of things. So the point I'm making is, we must sift things out. You see that? Therefore I told you before, you see, just now this morning, I recall from Mawlana Ahmad Dokrat Hafizahullah. So like today was the 7th, then for 8th, 9th, 10th. So I spoke about, I took the hadith about horses. So I said that, see, you understand, that originally the mazahib were like this, that Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis, Sahibain, they say a horse is totally permissible and you don't make zabah, you make nahar. You slaughter it while it's standing like the camel. Zabah means you drop the animal like the goat, sheep, cow and all that. And then 3 days prior to his demise, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah raja'a an qawlihi ila qawli sahibain. He chose his students one. The teacher left his verdict and came to the students. So that is what we must remember. Inna makhtalafu li ajli al-haq wa makhtalafu fil haq. They differed for the sake of truth. But once the truth came to them, then there was no ikhtilaf. So today, if I tell you that luhumul khayl, that the horse meat is totally permissible according to all 4 schools, and there's no need to debate and discuss this in detail, so it's 100% right. But some of our Maulvis, they just love this, you see, that when they give the Shafi verdict, they give the Shafi verdict from Hidayah. How the hell you can speak of Shafis and Malikis and all that from Hidayah? That's a gross injustice, you must remember. Yet to zulm hai. You must go to their books and all that. Go to Mudawwanat al-Kubra, go to Al-Mughni and all these type of things of the Hanbalis and Shafi'is, go to Kitabul and go to Allama Nawawi's book and all that. You can't teach fiqhul madaibul arba'ah and you choose for one school and from that book you're teaching other mazaib. I mean, how that works? Half the verdicts in Hidayah regarding the Shafi'is are marjuh qawl, are not the rajih qawl, are not the fatwa qawl. So you see, we need to understand all these things. But we just carry on like sheep mentality, you know. So therefore, we must know these things there, and then you understand. So these people, same thing. They will bring some obscure verdict. Fulan said this and this and that. Now the followers, the murids, wah, shabash kalender. I don't want to mention the one sheikh, you understand. So he came here to South Africa, famous person. Now I went there, this Maulana Mansoorul Haq. I met him last week Saturday. So then he don't speak now, he's totally Sahib-e Firash. But when I was there, mashallah, his eyes were open and he's looking at me. Then I went on the bed and I kissed him on the forehead, you see. And then the way he looked at me, his whole face started glowing, you know, it's like shining and that. So I was very happy I did that. So I told him, Maulana, the khidmat you made for Darul Newcastle, hum kabhi isko faramush nahi kar sakte. That we can't forget that, you know. Since when Qasim Sema started Darul Newcastle 73, this is the truth. People don't like to hear the truth, but it's the truth. When he went, you must remember there to Durban and all that. And today, you know, they give out, Allah reward them, the Jamiat Ulama KwaZulu Natal, they're running a series. So currently the series is all Maulana Yunus Patel. You must read it there. Some things are very strange, you know. How Maulana started his life, teaching life there in Mwairava in 1969. Maulana Zahid Khan, Damat Barakatum, Suleiman, for 90 rand wages. And the toilet bathroom was outside. And he had to pay rental 10 rand also. Understood? He said, oh man, I was just carrying on making khidmat. Then 1973, they begged him and then he went Durban and all that. So when he went Durban, that's the time you must remember Mohsema started the Darul Newcastle. From 73 to 76, he went Natal, Ma Umarji, Ma Patel, they said, no, we with you and all. And they gave him support, but nobody was prepared to come and teach, you see. He needed and required teachers. So nobody wants to leave the comfort zone. So then he came here. I mean, the truth must be told. He told me many a time. He said the Jamiat Transvaal opposed him the most. Who was the Jamiat Transvaal that time? Yes, fam. You understand? They said that, yeah, what you are doing, it's because noon in here. You understand? How can you teach Hadith, Quran, Hadith, all that in the Urdu, in the English language? So trying to say, if you teach in Urdu, there's a lot of noor. But if you teach in English, then there's no noor. But today, they're all lecturing in English. So all your lectures, they go, no, no. You see the foolishness of it. So like that. So Maulana got fed up with all that. He went back to Pakistan, spoke to Hazrat Allama bin Nuri, I need teachers. So that's how Maulana Mansoor came, you see. And he was the first teacher there, obviously after Mohsema. Then years passed. He never had no wife, no children there. 79, his brother came, Mumtaz ul Haq. Then after that, their wives came, you see. So you must remember that. I joined 81 there. So now that you see, so when he came there, then from 76 to 92. 92, I went for Hajj. I met all Mohsema, all the teachers, and I went. When I came back, I see Mumtaz ul Haq isn't there. So I asked him, oh, what's going on? Until now, I don't understand. Really, I got Quran. Well, I said, this one tell you this, this one tell you this, this one. So they say that they had an argument, something with the trustees there about taxation and all that. And he told them, if you don't pay me my full wages or something like that, I'm going to resign. They said, yeah, resign. So he resigned. Muhammad Mansoor ul Haq had no problem. So he told the trustees and that you must reinstate my brother, otherwise I'm resigning. So 92, he resigned. Protest, you know how you say protest vote. So protest resignation. So I remember very well in 92, Mufti Taqi Usmani came for the Jalsa, you see, and we had to go fetch him at the airport, you know. So I went in there. Mohsema didn't come. So this thing. Then I said, now Mufti Taqi is very tired, we'll sleep in Heidelberg. So before Maulana, I said, no, Mufti Sahib is burnt. And like that, you see. So I had to spend more time with him also. So mashallah, all this happened. But you could see there was a real vacuum, because now Mumtaz ul Haq is gone, Muhammad Mansoor ul Haq is gone. Senior teachers, you see. So I told Maulana, may aapke saath hum, and I'll make all the qurbani. So that was a turning point for me and Maulana. We became very close, like you see. So cut, it was 92. So cut, long story short, so you must remember that when the Darul started, nobody. People love to join a winning team, but nobody wants to join the team right in the initial stages. You don't know it will be successful or a failure, you see. That is the thing, it's human nature, you know. So that is what happened, you must remember that. So alhamdulillah, Now they're having their Jalsa on 22nd, 23rd November, inshallah, I'll go, you see. So all these things, yeah. So there's a big sheikh coming from Bangladesh. I don't know him, but they say he's a very big scholar in hadith and so forth and so. So the point I want to make is this, that we, in our hearts, we have these daggers and so forth and so on. So then how the ummah will benefit? You can't benefit like that. So that is how we have to learn to become better people, better da'is, better human beings, better ikhlas, better akhlaq, all that. Then the ummah will flourish.
Mufti Sahib, is it true that the Houthis are Zaydi Shias? Could Mufti Sahib please explain what is a Zaydi Shia?
Remember that I went to Yemen in 2000 and we read Salat behind them. Shaykhul Islam, Imam Abu Zahra, you see, so he wrote books on all of them. There's a silsila, I gave it to you, I think, all those books, the majority of them. So you must remember Al-Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Zayd, you see, Abu Zahra, he was a giant of a scholar there in Egypt and all that. So, didn't I give it to you, the series and all that thing? So you must remember that. So if you look at the Zaydis, they told him that he must curse Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. He said, I'll never do that. So yes, there are some masail, we differ with them. For example, on Sayyidina Ali's status. They say Sayyidina Ali in rank and status is greater than Sayyidina Abu Bakr. So obviously we reject that. But because of that, you can't make them takfir. You can't say non-Muslims they are and so forth. They believe in Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar and all that. But they give the virtue to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So like that, there are a few masail. But they are Muslims, the Zaydis and so forth and so on. And we read Salat behind them and so forth. But these Iranians, they always want their hegemony. Like the Jutlas always want their hegemony. You see, they want to control and so forth. So they, the Iranians, the Isna Ashariya, they came there to Yemen and offered the leadership millions and millions of dollars. You all must join us. So many of them joined. Not all, but many of them joined them. And they left the Zaydi school and became the Isna Ashariya. Isna Ashariya Kufr. They say Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Mother Aisha, and Mother Hafsa, Amir Muawiyah, all of them are kuffar. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Naqlu kufri, laysa bi kafirin. I'm telling you what they believe in. So we say the Houthis, not Houthi, you're the Tha, Houthi. So the Houthis today, some of them will be Zaydi, and some of them will be Isna Ashariya, the Shias, and then the kuffar. But we still support them. Why? In this way, that whoever attacks American interests, whoever attacks Israel's interest, Nabi alayhi salam himself said, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُعَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِرَجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ. Verily, Allah Ta'ala will help this deen of Islam through non-Muslims also. You see, take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is Fiqhu Sirah. From the life of the Master alayhi salam, draw the fiqh and the lessons and so forth. Sheikh Sayyid Ramadan al-Bhuti wrote a whole book on it. I got it there lying somewhere. Fiqh al-Sira. From the age of 8, right till the age of 50, 51. Who was defending Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who? Abu Talib. But Abu Talib died a kafir. He's in Jahannam. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif. What are you going to say? So you must remember that. So Allah in His infinite wisdom, His hikmatullah, His baligha, He uses non-Muslims. Putin hitting the hell out of Ukraine and all of them. And then He's good with the Muslim countries, many of them, you see that. So then we say, Imran Khan used to say that Putin's wife is Muslim. True, not true, I don't know. You don't understand? But it can be true, you must remember that. But the point I'm making, the haram is 100%. But sometimes they do very good things, you see. Then we Muslims benefit and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, there's two questions here. What is Mufti Sahib's view on the suggestion for the Muslim community to build a private university offering courses in health sciences, religious studies, teacher training, law, commerce, engineering? The Muslim community has the resources, expertise, and spends lots of money on masajid.
What was the second question?
The second question is on zakat. If a person owns a property where the current market rental is 9,000 rands per month, and if he charges 7,000 rand per month, can the balance of 2,000 per month be regarded as their zakat?
Not permissible there. You're using zakat for your own benefit, that is. You must remember that. So that's not right. So ethically also is wrong. So the second question is very easy. Before I answer the first one, so I'm asking you three questions. How many Arab countries we got? How many Muslim countries we got? I give you two examples. In Medina Munawwara, they got Jamia Islamia, and they sending out posters. And this Friday, just like the Sahuk thing, is cut off date, you see. So people send it to me. Hey, this is very nice. I want to send my son there. Everything paid for. But I'm the one who will tell you, you must never send your son there. What are the consequences? You will see they'll make your son a Salafi. They will make him a Wahhabi. They'll make him a Najdi. Many years ago, 15, 20 years ago, there were about 50 families or more South Africans living in Medina Munawwara. So they invited me there at their house, and they gathered the South Africans, the men, the side, the women in the room and all that they could hear, you know. So they said, give us advice. Now me, I can't shut my mouth, you know. So I said, my first advice to you all, you must pack your bags up and go back home. So that's my first statement. So you could see they were upset. Where the hell did this guy come and give us advice? I said, I'm telling you this, وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I'm giving you advice, but you don't like the advice. Why? Because when your children are going to grow up, you will see they won't wear a hat. They will put one leg in the east, one leg in the west. They won't read sunnat, salat, all that day. You must get impacted by the environment, especially the youth. So next year again I went, so that person told me, you know how upset I was. But please, I'm begging you, come speak to my son, that whatever you said exactly is being the same. I told him, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work it out. You see that? So same thing there. You go to Kuala Lumpur and go see there, they got big university. I went there also. I met some of the lecturers there also. And they promote Islamic banking one way. You know, so big, big professors. The one professor I met him, he said, my father, he's a big professor there, one of the biggest. And he said, my father was a very senior Maulana in India. He told me this himself. You see, you go to Islamabad and see the universities are there. But are they really giving that desired results? No. So you must remember that. I'm asking you a question. How many years we are in democracy now, Mazaid? How many years? In democracy, how many years we are?
From 1994.
94 till now, 30 years plus. We just round it off as 30 years. How many Muslims, they belong to the National Party, they belong to the ANC, they belong to the DA, they belong to the EFF, they belong to the IFP, they belong to this one, that one, whichever. You see, so many parties we got now. Show me one, just one, Muslim politician who really did things for Islam and Muslims and never filled his pockets in the process. Show me one. You won't find. You must remember. Everyone goes there with the intention, how can I benefit? How can my family benefit? How can I enrich myself? So same thing with the universities also. You're going to bring this professor and this professor. First of all, these professors you bring, their aqidah itself is half tainted and polluted. You must remember. One day was at Wits. I give you my personal list. So now what the hell, we know who's who in the zoo. You understand? So I don't know who's the lecturer and who's the student and all that. Why is lecturing? I spoke against the Shias. So the one person, I still remember that I was standing and lecturing, and the one person on my right-hand side, you know, the left-hand side of the masjid, but my right-hand, he told me, no, you can't say that. So I just kept quiet and I carried on. You see that with the topic. And then I asked the guy, who's that? He said, no, he's a lecturer, yeah. You see? He's 100% pro-Shia or very sympathetic to the Shia and so forth and so on. So that's the point. So what's the point you're going to have guys like that? So So when our foundation is not there, some guys will even tell you that Hamas are totally wrong. They cause more problems. You see that? Because they're financed by the Saudis, or they're financed by the UAE Emiratis, or they're financed by ABC. So that's how they play the game. For what this guy here, Rapid Support Force, you see the video, is gone viral. You can see that Sudani guy is an old guy. He's an old man. He's got maybe never ate also for 2-3 days or 1 week. But this youngster got a big gun. And then he's making victory sign with it. And he puts bullets straight to him. So these are idiots. And they're not missionaries. They're mercenaries. They pay, just pay them. Take $100 a day, $500, and just go kill. You see? No brains they got. You must remember these type of things. Yeah? So that is the problem. So your idea, they were smart, you know. But we got the universities. And what they are doing? They're doing more harm, if you ask me, than good. So you must remember this type of thing. Therefore, you know my fatwa. I told you that today's university, especially in South Africa and this kind of country, Western, they are not universities, they're brothels, you must remember that. My own family members are there. So the other day somebody came, and then I just asked, how's things there? You see, you must be very careful there, university. These people here, one side, they are the straight people. Then next to them is the queer people. And next to them is the transgender people. And then next to them is the lesbians. And then next to them is the gay guys. Now, who's who in the zoo? I laughed and I chuckled this morning when I gave the news. Candace Owens is being sued by Mr. and Mrs. Macron. Why? Because she said that Mrs. Macron was a male and then went for a transgender operation and then became a female. And the gap between the two is 34 years or 24 years gap, you understand? So they say that this also makes you wonder that is it really something right? This is. So all harami is in the mix there. Imagine you got a lecturer and he comes and he's gay. What you going to do then? He'll tell you it's your constitutional right. You will say, there's a lecturer commits zina, fornication, adultery. I busy, and that person will say, he's busy with gay. So he says, why he can stay and I can't stay? What are you going to do? And today it's common among the Muslim, the so-called academia, the so-called intelligentsia. They say you must have critical thinking. And they will use people like Yasir Qazi, and then Yasir Qazi is a murtad straight away. I heard his interview, he said this law of rajam, that where the people who commit adultery must be pelted to death. He said we can never have a law like that. That we have to review that law. Who the hell are you to review wahi and revelation? Who are you to go and break the kharq, make kharq ijma, break the ijma and the consensus of sahaba, of the four schools, of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? He said regarding hadith and rijal, the asanid, which the Orientalists have accepted, he said we can't prove it scientifically that these hadiths are authentic via these chains and so forth. If you look at it scientifically, you can't prove it. Yes, if we believe in it, that's a separate thing. But scientifically, so what is all that? That is a result of your critical thinking. So you must remember. So you see, when I was doing studies, adversity. So that's what they wanted I must do. I wrote a chapter about defending the Sahaba and this and all that. They told me, no, we can't write this. You must change it. I said, go to hell. You keep your degree also. So Allah Ta'ala, if you do something for Allah's sake, you see ayats in the Quran, you must have certain favorite ayats, you see. So Surah 8 verse 70 is a wonderful. Go open Surah 8 verse 70 and see. يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Sometime in life, certain thing is snatched away from you. You got your son, you got your daughter, and that is the apple of your eye, the most handsome son, the most gorgeous, attractive daughter. You love to embrace them and kiss them and play with them, and lo and behold, when they're 3-4 years old, they just went outside, car came, accident, and they're done, finished. Your whole life will change, you must remember. But Allah in His infinite grace and mercy shows you dreams. that this is going to happen to you in Jannah or does that or all that, or Allah blesses you with another child. So remember, so Quran says, chapter 8 and verse 70, إِيَّعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ خَيْرًا. When there's goodness in your heart, you really want to do things for Islam's sake, not for money or name and fame and whatever. Then maybe same time or after 1 year, 5 years, 10, 20 years, يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا مِمَّا أُخِذَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah will give you something much better compared to that which was taken away from you. You see? So Allah gave us Markaz Sahaba. You see that? But life is a test. Who will pass it? Allah alone knows. That's why Sahaba, in Tirmidhi Sharif, the hadith is there. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Their hearts were trembling and shivering because they have to return to Allah. Mother Aisha Siddiqa, she asked this question. She didn't make a statement. She was inquiring. Ya Rasulullah, who are these people whose hearts are shivering? Are they those people, yasnoon, wa yasriqoon, and all that, you see that? They, you know, commit zina, fornication, they commit fraud and steal and all that and so forth, you see. La la ya binta siddiq, no, it's not those people, you're wrong. So who is it? Yuswalloon, wa yasumoon, wa yatasaddaqoon, wa yakhafoon. They read their salat, they fast, they give charity, but they're fearing. Will they be min al-maqbooleen or matrudeen? Will they be maqbooleen or mardudeen? Will their efforts be accepted or rejected? That is what their hearts are shivering. So that is what, you know, who got there today? So therefore, this whole, this put up big university, put up this, it's a waste of time, it's castle, you know, sand castles, you must remember this type of thing. You don't work, you must remember these things. Yeah. Because the people who are lecturing themselves, they need a lecture on aqidah themselves. You know, that's your very foundation. So everybody got his own idea. You say, I read in this book, you see. Some people will be impressed by Parvez, somebody will be impressed by the Orientalists, somebody will be impressed, you must remember, by some Arab scholar, somebody will be impressed by Maududi, the Pakistani, you see, like that. So everybody has got their own ideas, so like that. So Islam is not like that. Islam says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam in its entirety and its totality. So that is Islam, remember.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.